I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord,
and shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all time.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servant.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord,
and shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may sit for the reading.
The first reading is from the book of Revelations, chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead, with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text for this Reformation festival is John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Some people are convinced they ought to be free to end their life, free to commit suicide. But as one of my atheist friends puts it, suicide is a permanent solution to what is usually a temporary problem. Whatever the merits of suicide, it is, if you think about it, not an affirmation of freedom, but an end of freedom. You have no more choice after you do yourself in. If you end your freedom when you choose that route. And yet the illusion persists that freedom encompasses taking one's own life. Freedom entails responsibility. And suicide is often an escape from responsibility. But that is an illusion, a delusion, a lie that many believe. For the one who breaks the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," by taking his own life, will be as answerable before God as any other willful killer. Our Lord taught on the subject of freedom in today's gospel. As in our own day, people were confused as to what freedom was. As in our own day, people identified freedom with whatever their wills desired at the time. The ones our Lord addressed thought they were free so long as they were not slaves, servants in households who worked at the direction and for the benefit of others. But as our Lord pointed out, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. If we do what we in our better moments wish we had not done, then we are slaves, even if we will it at the time. So many of us wish we had better health and health habits, but we are slaves to the fork, to the cigarette, to the television, to worry or resentment or regret or envy or whatever else leads us to think and do the things which make us miserable. We too are enslaved to sin and long for release. But to escape, we need knowledge. There was a prisoner who had been kidnapped. He woke up in a garret. When his guard wasn't looking, he overcame him, knocked him unconscious, took the keys, unlocked the door, only to find himself on a ship's deck, in the middle of the ocean. He was free of the garret, but unable to leave the ship. And this is our human condition. We may avoid public disgrace or obvious self-destruction by avoiding an excess of this sin or another. And we may gloat over those whose condition is worse than our own, but without knowledge of how to return to our true home, we are not free in the ultimate sense. In Luther's day, there were many who felt enslaved by their sin. The ordinary experience of guilt and the natural dread of consequences from doing what was wrong led many to seek from the church the means of freedom. But too many led these sufferers into another prison, a prison of ignorance. By teaching that we can compensate God for our sins, in direct contradiction to Romans 3, the epistle for this day, church leaders in Luther's day imposed many works and customs intended to merit forgiveness, and then they allowed many to escape these impositions by a payment of money or a term of military service. Often these were dispensed with the object of serving worldly ends in a corrupt manner. Luther's insight into the biblical gospel that we are made right with God through the merits of Christ and not our own, so that we may do the things that God commands rather than what is invented by human authority, caused an upheaval of reform that we celebrate today as the Reformation. Luther's insights into the gospel are summed up in the threefold motto, the so-called three solas, sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, which in English is scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone. The first of these insights is that we rely on Jesus' word, his teaching, and no other. Our Lord endorsed the prophetic writings of the Old Testament, and he appointed apostles to record his own teaching and actions. And these writings are gathered together as the Bible or Holy Scriptures. And these alone judge doctrine, truth, and the gospel message. Luther recognized that many customs, like Christmas, could convey the gospel truth and need not be eliminated just because they are not directly commanded in the Scripture. But at the same time, we must study the Scriptures and measure our traditions and practices against the scriptural teaching. For example, the custom of dressing as witches or ghosts on Halloween was originally to make fun of the forces of evil which had been defeated by Christ and the saints. But today, many are in danger of identifying with forces of evil in their Halloween practices. Christians need to evaluate, not necessarily eliminate, what they do and what they allow their children to do in this connection. Understanding that Christ is King and has defeated the forces of evil gives us the freedom to adapt what may be useful in this, by now, secular tradition. Abiding in Jesus' word is fundamental in the Christian life. As our text says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. This is why the church that identifies with Luther's name emphasizes doctrine, what Jesus taught. And to know something is to assimilate it. It becomes a part of you. To know a language is not just to recognize a few words, but to be able to think in that language. You are changed by that knowledge. Learning Jesus' word is knowing him. We assimilate him. We think his thoughts. He enables us to do what we could not do before. And we grow in this word, becoming more like our Savior, as we absorb more and assimilate more of his word and sacrament. And this is not the same as knowing other things, traditions or people or whatever. That is why some songs, which we call hymns, are preferable to other songs. For hymns express primarily the truth of Christ and what he has done. They convey doctrine, objective truth, rather than expressing our emotions or feelings about him, subjective feelings, which can and do change. For Jesus' word is truth. And our Lord said, I am the way and the truth and the life. To know the truth is to know Jesus. Christ said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate responded as most unbelievers do. What is truth? The truth will make you free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice that it is the truth that sets you free, instantly free from God's condemnation and gradually free from sin's enslavement of our desires and emotions. Oh, we continue to suffer in this life because our flesh, the world, and the devil constantly urge us to doubt the truth of God because we don't feel it. If we fall for these temptations, we will be miserable and despairing. But if we allow confidence in God's promises to be our foundation, we shall find consolation in difficulty. We indeed must despair of ourselves, but we can rely on God, as the psalmist says, on the rock who is higher than I. A man with a map and a compass is freer in the woods than a man without these things. And so we have a freedom in Christ as we wander in this wilderness on the way to the land of promise we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we praise God today for the precious gospel of Christ, wherein he frees us through the truth of his word from ignorance, from condemnation, and from lostness. And we praise him for Luther's gospel insights, which turned so many hearts away from false doctrines and misleading traditions to the word of Christ, which makes us his disciples. Let us ever rejoice, not in our ethnic identity or our denominational heritage, but in the gospel of Christ, which enabled Luther to lead a reform of which we are still beneficiaries. Amen. Amen. To God be the grace.
By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, worship, honor, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
This is Dr. Richard Ziley, the speaker on Martin Luther's evening prayer. I'd like to say a few words about the election, November 3rd. We Americans have been gifted with government and other institutions that are accountable to the citizens. Unlike Christians in many other societies, past and present, who had a strictly passive role because they had little to say in government decisions, we are responsible for our rulers and their policies. It may be tempting to view politics as a dirty process we don't want to be involved in, or simply as a means of advocating our own narrow interests, but this would be immoral. We would be like the man in the parable of the talents who took his gift and buried it in the ground. God has given us this gift of self-government to use for service to others. But what is the service that others need? Some Christians think a government that takes care of everyone and regulates every injustice is what God expects. Others believe that such government undermines individual responsibility and is contrary to people's true needs. There are many areas where sincere believers may differ in their judgment. But at the same time, there are considerations that the Christian citizen should bear in mind. These and similar issues will be discussed in our Sunday morning Bible class, The Believer in Politics, as we read and discuss 1 and 2 Samuel. And to our radio listeners, all who hear Martin Luther's evening prayer, I urge you to vote. Vote November 3rd. And especially to look at the candidate's stance on the question of life. Millions of infants are slaughtered in the abortion industry, and we cannot ignore this as we go to the polls. There are many issues to be considered, but above all, especially at the highest offices, our President, our Congress and Senate, the issue of life should be foremost in the believer's political decisions. Not because it's our issue, and not because we seek to force our values on others, but because we sincerely believe that this is what's best for the common good. God bless you as you make the difficult decisions of political participation, and may God bless the great country which He has given us. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that You have blessed us in the United States with free institutions and government accountable to the people. Make us worthy of this gift of self-government, that we may hold our leaders accountable, that we may protect the helpless, beginning with those who have not yet had an opportunity to begin their lives, that we may encourage our rulers to discern and act for the common good. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to whom every knee must bow and every tongue confess. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me. Amen.